Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Well, we have reporters located at different parts of the country, and we'll go straight to the first of them, Josh Crosby, who is located in Dublin City Centre, but who's been countrywide over the past few days. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So what's the story on O'Connell Street?
Yeah, so I'm back in the capital now after following these protests since they started on Tuesday. And when I first followed the convoy into Dublin from Kildare, we had no idea how far they would spread. So I'm after meeting with protesters here on O'Connell Street on Wednesday. Then I headed to the M7 in Limerick. That's been blocked off on both sides of the road just outside the city. And then I went on to Foynesport, where the blockade started on Tuesday night. Now, there has been movement at that port. Yesterday, protesters allowed 5 fuel trucks to leave. Frontline emergency workers, and they've been allowing animal feed and trucks carrying chemicals for water treatment. But I came back to Dublin then with these meetings having started yesterday and due to reconvene this afternoon. And right now I'm on O'Connell Street, and I've counted over 80 vehicles of all different shapes and sizes lining both sides of the street. But the vehicles also wrapped down the Quays, Pat, stopping just short of the Ha'penny Bridge. The base of the O'Connell Monument has become, I suppose, the main meeting point, if you like. It's decked out with food that's been dropped off. And just to hear how protesters are feeling today, I've been speaking with Gary from Offaly in the past few minutes, who works in haulage. He says they're not moving.
Days now, and we're not leaving until we get proper answers.
There is a financial package there, but it won't be unveiled until the protest is stood down. How do people feel about that?
Sure, we're not leaving. And that's just it. You ask any lad that's sitting here, they're not leaving. Like, it's cheaper to stay here than go out and try to run a lorry that's losing money.
Yesterday we were hearing that when the meeting was called, that there were different demands being asked. Do you think, can that change public support then? If, you know, initially people said once a meeting's called we'll stand down, but then it evolved, it changed?
It only escalated. The amount of people texting saying, is there any way getting into sandwiches? And I'd say in the next 2 to 3 days, every person is going to be standing out. Everyone is texting. People that you wouldn't even think, people that don't even have cars, are still affecting them. Their shopping is still going up because the price of fuel is going up. It's affecting everyone.
So what's the plan for today?
I can't say, but watch out.
Will there be movement?
Yeah, definitely.
On foot or by vehicle?
I'd say on foot. We're not moving these. This place will be pedestrianised when we get out here.
Okay, I suppose dark humour there from Gary from Offaly. So they're not moving, but they may have some sort of foot protest later today.
Yeah, so they keep their plans fairly close to their chest. Now, they don't want to give away too many details. I just met two men who've only come up from County Cavan this morning. They said there are buses of people heading for Dublin today to join the protest, people who've been working all week. And I've been told the protesters' families are joining them today. So it's yet to be seen, Pat, how big this crowd grows. Right now, as I look over, traffic is moving up and down the Quays, just not up or down O'Connell Street. And I suppose all eyes will be on the outcome of this meeting later to see how it affects events here. I've been meeting with many farmers, contractors, haulers all this week. But here this morning, I also met with a bus driver who's been on the protest. Aaron McDonough is from Mead, and he runs a minibus hire. He's 33 vehicles. He told me he spends over €22,000 on fuel every fortnight. And he's uncertain if he'll be able to continue with school transport side of the business.
Sitting here for the last 4 days because simply we're on school contracts with Bus Éireann, and we're in fixed prices. And of course, with the diesel price gone so high in the last 14 days prior to this strike, our diesel bill has gone up €7,000. Please God, we'll be back on Monday, but by the end of Friday, next Friday, if the diesel price is not down, it'll be back up again at €22,000 to fill the tanks at home in the yard. We are on that fixed price, and we can't keep going back to Bus Éireann because it is a contract. I don't think I can afford to run buses on Monday morning for schools.
Can you see schools across the country without bus transport?
Yes, if the government don't just come out and just do the simple thing, is just drop the prices, even for 6 months, I don't think there'll be any schools come Tuesday morning. People will go on Monday because they think that they have to go on Monday to try and get the kids.
We're hearing now that a financial package won't be unveiled until protests are stood down. What's your reaction to that?
Well, at the minute, it's kind of Saturday morning in O'Connell Street, and it's live with farmers, truckers, busmen, contractors, small builders. They ain't going nowhere until the government just come out.
All right. So Josh, it appears they're not for moving. I'm wondering, do you have any sense of how much support they really have? Because when you listen to any of the talk radio, you get mixed messages. Some people saying, you know, how dare you stop business from functioning, you know, restaurants, everybody trying to make a crust and everything stops because of the protest. And on the other hand, people are saying, well, we'd like our petrol, our fuel to be cheaper, so we're supporting this. Any sense of how strong that support or otherwise?
I suppose it really is mixed, Pat. And like I have to say, in different locations I've been in, people are pulling up and they're handing out trays of sandwiches. Yesterday in Foynes, it was lashing rain. A van pulled up and handed out umbrellas. I met there was an English couple here. They're farmers, and they were speaking to the protesters, saying that we should be doing the same in the UK. So look, it's mixed, because we do hear the texts come in as well from people who are missing appointments and everything. So look, as this goes on, that might change. It's all right. To be seen.
Josh, thank you very much for reporting from Dublin City Centre. Sarah Madden is out and about in the Greater Dublin area. Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Where exactly are you now?
So, Pat, I'm here at Dublin Airport, the place, of course, that we saw those incredible scenes yesterday of people making their way towards. They had hopped out of their cars or out of their taxis. They were bringing their luggage along the M50. And though I thankfully didn't observe any of that on my way here to Dublin Airport this morning, passengers I've spoken to here are in some cases taking similarly extreme measures to make sure that they don't miss their flights. So I'm just sitting outside Terminal 2 right now. I was previously at Terminal 1, and I spoke to those who say their trip times here were double what they might usually be. There were people who decided to take back routes and old roads here from as far as Derry to avoid blockades. They say they can't trust Google Maps at a time like this. And one woman I spoke to had left Portlaoise 5 hours earlier than she normally might. Now, though she was relieved to have made it here in good time for her flight, she's now stressing about how she's going to entertain her kids at the airport for the next couple of hours. So good luck to her. Now, there was one unfortunate couple I spoke to, their friend. They were here on their holidays. Obviously, Pat, they haven't been keeping up with the news. They were caught on their way here from the Midlands. I had to run to keep up with them as they sprinted towards security. Their flight leaves in 30 minutes' time, so fingers crossed they'll make it.
All right, so it's not possible to drive up to the airport at the moment. Did you have
well,
to...
Well, I'm... Yeah, did go you ahead, get Pat, there? Sorry.
I'm just wondering, did you drive there or did you have to walk?
Thankfully, I was able to get here with my car, Pat. I was coming from the right side of Dublin. But airport officials are telling people across Ireland that they do need to make extra time for their flights. Of course, there will be a lot of people, Pat, relying on public transport as well. Private service operators, you know, who might take people to and from the airport. They're also experiencing severe delays. Bus Éireann, they have said this morning that they are continuing to see services disrupted. Though they will make every effort to serve Dublin Airport passengers where possible. I had a quick look there as well at Air Coach and CityLink's websites. They're reporting major delays in some cases. They are adjusting pickup points and service routes to cope. But as the situation is fluid, passengers are advised to keep a close eye on the relevant apps and social media channels for those updates.
Sarah, thank you very much for joining us from Dublin Airport. Seamus Whelan, who's a producer and reporter with the Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM, is joining us from Whitegate. Good morning, Seamus.
Good morning, Pat, from a wet and cold Whitegate. But the mood is buoyant among the protesters here. There's a ring of steel right around the village of Whitegate, Ahada and Rostellan. I'm only living about 10 minutes away from Whitegate, and I've had to come through 4 Garda checkpoints this morning to actually get here. 3 on the road and then a further one in the centre of the village, and the village is only about a kilometre in length.
Now, we know what the implications are if they have to stop processing fuel. We know what the implications are if they can't get a delivery to be refined at the refinery. What are those blocking, the truckers and farmers, what are they saying about the possibility that they may be guilty of some sort of national sabotage?
Well, they don't see it that way. They see that what they're doing it for everybody else, you and I, they're doing it for fellow people in the agri construction sector. They're saying that we're paying too many taxes on our fuel. They want the green diesel and white diesel capped, and they want to get rid of the carbon tax. Now, I spoke to one or two of the protesters. They want to go back and look at the Barry Row oil field, and I believe in 2019 there was other oil discovered off Garryvaugh, but I don't, in East Cork, but I don't know how difficult that would be to extract. And they're saying to me that they don't believe the government are taking them seriously.
Yeah, they also surely don't seem to have a handle on if the oil was discovered. I mean, petrol and petroleum products are sold on the world market. That's why Trump has a problem in America. Even though they are self-sufficient in fossil fuels, these fuels are sold on the world market. So if the price goes up in the world market, they go up in America. If we find our own oil, it's still going to be world prices we'll be charged. So that's a bit naive.
Yeah. It is. It is. But like they're telling me that they don't believe at the moment that there are restrictions on fuel. They believe that the fuel industry and the government are restricting it because they want to keep hold of the taxes and the money that that's been generated from these fuels. They're saying that they're allowing kerosene out of the oil refinery, but nobody has come to them. Yesterday morning there was discussions at about 8:40 with professional Garda spokespeople, while they were talking to the Gardaí, they freed up the back entrance to the oil refinery to allow out one truck of white diesel for the emergency services. Yeah. And as they did that, the Gardaí went in and took control back. There were two other trucks came out, and then the protesters locked it back down again. So I was saying to them that Micheál Martin is saying that he won't announce the measures the package that he'll come up with unless they disband, and they're saying that they're here for the long haul. They feel the IFA and that the Hauliers Association don't represent them, and that they want the packages, they want their demands that white and green diesel be capped, carbon tax gone, and
drilling off the coast to Cork and the Dublin oil, and Micheál Martin to resign, of course, as well. And last night they wanted a special session of Dáil Éireann, which they did not get, and so far they haven't got Micheál's resignation. Seamus, thank you very much for joining us from Whitegate. David Raleigh is located at the blockade at Foynes at the fuel terminal there. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Pat.
What's happening there?
Well, like in Cork there, it's cold, it's wet and windy, but the spirits here at the blockade and Foynes remain high. The blockade continues at the entrance to the Shannon Foynes Port Company and the fuel terminal here at the Port Village. It's a peaceful blockade, Pat. There were around 1,000 protesters here last night. That number has reduced to a couple of 100 this morning, but the protest is expected to swell in numbers again later today. That protest support is growing. The protesters say there are trucks, cars, vans, buses, tractors lined up along the road into the village from the N69 Limerick City. I drove here this morning without any difficulty whatsoever. No Garda checkpoints as I drove on the N69. It's a different story on the motorway that remains blocked in places, although traffic is getting through from time to time. And in a show of good faith, the protest group here has been allowing some fuel, some animal feed, some chemicals for water treatment plants out of the port. The protesters and Gardaí have throughout this blockade been engaging with one another in a calm and measured manner. The protest group this morning agreed with the local superintendent, Michael Fleming, that five more fuel lorries would be allowed out of the port today between 9 and 2 o'clock this afternoon. I spoke with local independent Ireland TD Richard O'Donoghue at the blockade this morning. He told me that the protest will remain in place until the group's demands are met. He said that the group is still seeking the cap of green diesel, white diesel, kerosene, petrol, and all the other demands that you've heard. He said the protesters don't mind paying tax on fuel, but not at the current rate, as they simply cannot afford it. The weather is, as I say, it's four seasons in one day. There's torrential downpours here, but it's not dampening the protesters' spirits, and they've pledged to keep this blockade at the port for as long as it takes.
David Raleigh in Foynes, thank you very much for joining us.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.